For a business to be around for more than 50 years, you know they must be doing something right. At D&H Drugstores, something right has always been service, convenience, trust, qualities that build lasting relationships. D&H has been a part of this community for so long because D&H cares about so much more than just filling prescriptions. It's about our family taking care of your family since 1956. D&H Drugstore, your family drugstore, on Broadway at West Boulevard and on Paris Road in the Haithman Village Shopping Center, Columbia.
Welcome to Radio Friends on this Monday, February the 4th. We've got a very interesting guest with us today. First time on Radio Friends. Her name is Jamie Pamela Rasmussen. And Jamie drove all the way up from Springfield, Missouri to be with us today. And we appreciate that. She's written a book, The Missouri State Penitentiary, 170 Years Inside the Wall. Welcome to Radio Friends, Jamie.
Thank you.
And I want to get a picture of this book. If you want to see it, you can go to kbia.org, click on Talk Shows and then Radio Friends. And here's the book. And I asked her, I said, who is this guy, the picture on the front of the book? And you told me that's...
It's James Earl Ray.
James Earl Ray. That's the guy who shot Martin Luther King, killed Martin Luther King.
That is correct.
And you're telling me that James Earl Ray was at the Missouri State Penitentiary.
Yes, he escaped from the Missouri State Penitentiary before he shot Martin Luther King Jr. What happened was he had been imprisoned for, you know, kind of some ordinary crime. I think it was robbery. And he worked in the prison bakery. And he had somebody hide him in a bread cart. And when they carted the bread out from the penitentiary to one of the other institutions.
Carted him out too.
He jumped out of the truck and headed off to Kansas City, and eventually, through various machinations, ended up in
the same town that Martin Luther King was, where he got shot. Yeah, I had no idea, but James Earl Ray was at the Missouri State Penitentiary. He's gone now.
He died in 97. The really interesting thing that I found about the story was it was actually his time in the penitentiary that was one of the clues that led them to finding him as being Martin Luther King Jr.'s killer, because he had a radio with him when he shot Martin Luther King Jr. that had his inmate number from the Missouri State Penitentiary chiseled into it. And they're like, oh, they matched him up. And that was one of the things that...
That gave it away.
Yeah.
Yeah. What drove you to write this book?
Really, it was a combination of things. And... I've always had an interest in history. I got my undergraduate degree in history. And then I went to law school, and I was working in Jefferson City at the Attorney General's office when the Jefferson City Convention and Visitors Bureau started doing tours at the prison. And so it was just this combination of history and criminal law, and I couldn't really resist.
Right. So you took a tour of the prison, and I asked you, I said, did you go into solitary confinement? And your answer was?
Yes.
How did it feel in solitary confinement?
It was scary, very scary. What they do on the tour is they take you into A Hall, which is probably the most famous building at the penitentiary, and it's the oldest one still standing. And they take you into the basement, and this is where they had the punishment halls in the 1800s and early 1900s.
What are the punishment halls?
Well, that's just where they put people who had broken the prison rules. So basically solitary confinement. And you go down there, and it's just this hole in the ground. And there's no running water. There's no electricity. And the tour guides will, even if you're brave, turn off the lights so you can feel what it was actually like to be in that cell.
So they put you, when you were in solitary confinement, they put you down in that hole, and they turned off all the lights?
Yes, and left you there.
For how long?
Well, for me... And the people on the tour, you know, 5 minutes, which was plenty. but some of the prisoners, they would leave them there for days on bread and water. It was very horrific conditions.
Now, what all are we going to find in this book when we read the book? Are we going to feel like we're in solitary confinement when you write about it?
I hope not, because it's scary. The premise of this book was I just wanted to present a short story of the penitentiary itself. As you may or may not know, the Missouri State Penitentiary opened in the 1830s, and it closed in 2004. And in 2009, when they started doing tours of these old buildings, they did not have a book that just told the story of that institution. And that's what I'm trying to do in this book.
Yeah.
And that sounds really dry and
no, it doesn't. It
historical.
Sounds very interesting. I'm looking at some pictures here. Amy,
oh, yes.
If you can get a shot of this. And again, if you want to see these pictures, go to KBIA.org, click on Talk Shows, and then Radio Friends. Can you describe what are we looking at right here?
This is actually one of the ordinary cells in A Hall. And the reason I took these two pictures, some of the pictures in the book are my own pictures, and some are ones that I got from the Missouri State Archives. But these are pictures that I took. And in the late 70s, up to six people would be living in a cell this size.
Okay, and if you can, we'll describe it for you if you're listening to us on the radio right now. It's not very appealing at all. It looks like maybe it's about 5 feet wide.
Maybe 8 feet by 12 feet is about the size of the cell. And if you can see, there's just enough room for a bunk on either side. And when they had more than two people in there, they'd do it as bunk beds.
Wow.
No closet, no bathroom, just...
Well, where'd they go to the bathroom?
Just this little bathroom right there.
Oh, my. So there was no privacy whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
You're in prison, you know. What else? Oh, here's James Earl Ray.
Yeah, he's right there.
Okay. What else? What else in the book that may really surprise people?
The thing that really surprised me is that in the 1800s and early 1900s, there were political prisoners in the Missouri State Penitentiary. And I'm young enough that I grew up in a time where, you know, we didn't have a lot of political prisoners, and you could say whatever you wanted and you wouldn't be arrested for it. But my favorite was the story of Kate Richards O'Hare. And what happened is she opposed World War I, and she gave speeches saying you shouldn't mention enlist, blah, 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 blah. They put her in jail for it, and she spent almost a year and a half in the Missouri State Penitentiary.
Because she opposed the war.
Yes.
And she spoke out against it.
Right. And this is in the time when the prison was very overcrowded, the conditions were horrid, and this, you know, middle-class activist is thrown in there for saying what she believes. It's a compelling story.
It is. It's called The Missouri State Penitentiary, 170 Years Inside the Wall. And it's available at local bookstores, mm-hmm. or you can go on Amazon and
right.
purchase it also. I wish you... I hope you sell out. Is this
the
first printing of it?
It is. It is. And we just... I think the first printing started in October, so we're
okay.
still pretty early in on it.
All right. I wish you the very best of luck with it.
Thank you so much.
Are you pleased with the final product, what finally ended up in print?
I am, actually. I'm actually very happy with the way the people at Missouri University Press put it all together, because I did the writing, but the actual physical package, the cover, and the way it looks is something that I had to entrust to others, and they did a really good job
of
it.
Yeah, so this was done at University Press
yes.
here at Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real jewel here
Thank
you so much for coming by, Jamie. I appreciate it. Have a safe trip back to Springfield. Look for this on Amazon or your local bookstore, The Missouri State Penitentiary, 170 Years Inside the Walls. Our program directed by Travis McMillan, Reynolds Journalism Institute. Audio is Pat Akers, KBIA. Our floor director is Amy Simons, and our assistant producer and guest coordinator, Uncle James Mauser. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.